The first represents the movement of total withdrawal from mundane things. That is, renunciation in an extreme sense, extreme form. Withdrawing from the world, worldly activities, worldly thoughts, worldly connections, worldly associations, secular life, and so on. The movement of withdrawal. Now, this movement of withdrawal is said to be aided by a particular practice which is called reflection on the faults, the imperfections, or the shortcomings of conditioned existence. You reflect that conditioned existence, phenomenal existence, life in this world, life within the round of existence, whirling round and round in the wheel of life, as it were, is not only not very satisfactory, it's profoundly unsatisfactory. All sorts of experiences one has of a very unpleasant nature. Things one wants, one can't get. People one likes, one is separated from. Things one doesn't want to do, one has to do. There's the whole wretched business of earning a living, looking after the physical body, feeding it, doctoring it when it gets sick, looking after family, wife, children, relations, employees, doing one's daily chores, so on and so forth. One feels that all this is too much. One has to get away from it all, out of it all. The round of existence itself is too much. Get away from it into nirvana, into a state where you don't have all these things, into the unconditioned, into the peace or the perfection of the unconditioned, into the rest, changelessness of the eternal, away from all the fluctuations, all the vicissitudes, all the distractions of this mundane life. So this is the reflection on the faults of conditioned existence, aided by which one withdraws, one opts out, as it were. One feels one's had enough of it, so one gets out. Now, the second trend, that is the trend of involvement, represents concern for sentient, for living beings. One thinks, one reflects, as it were. It's all right, yes, I'd like to get out. That would be all right for me. But what about other people? What's going to happen to them? There are some who can't stand it even as well as I can stand it. If I leave them, if I abandon them, well, how are they going to get on? So this trend, the trend of involvement, is aided by what is called reflection on the sufferings of sentient beings. In the first trend, the trend of withdrawal, one reflected on the sufferings of conditioned existence, the faults, the imperfections of conditioned existence, only so far as they affected oneself. But here, one reflects on them as they affect other living beings. One reflects, therefore, on the sufferings of sentient beings. You just take a look around. Just take a look around at the people you know, your friends, your acquaintances, the people you work with at the office, the people you meet in your places of recreation, clubs, societies, and so on. You just take a look at them. You think, or you reflect, on all the troubles, all the difficulties which they have. There may be someone lost their job, doesn't know what to do. Some other person, marriage has broken up. Some other person had a nervous breakdown. Some other person been bereaved, maybe lost their wife or lost their child. So if you think, if you reflect, there's not a single person that you know who is not suffering in some way. Even if they're what is known as comparatively happy or happy in the ordinary sense, there are still things that they have to suffer. Separation or illness, even weakness and tiredness of old age, and finally death, which they certainly don't want. And if you cast your gaze wider, just look over the world. In so many parts of the world, so much suffering, wars, catastrophes of various kinds, floods or famines, especially in the east. Sometimes people dying in very, very horrible ways. Just think about the last war. People dying in concentration camps, people dying in gas chambers, all that sort of thing. You can cast your eye even further afield than that. You can think even of animals, how they have to suffer, not only at the hands of other animals, but at the hands of man. So you can see that the whole world of sentient living beings is involved in suffering. So much of it. So when one reflects in this way on the sufferings of sentient beings, one thinks, how is it possible for me to think simply in terms of getting out of it all? How can I think of getting away myself to some private nirvana, some private spiritual experience, which may be very satisfactory to me personally, but which doesn't do anything for them, which doesn't help them? How can I do this? So there's a sort of conflict. If one's nature is big enough or rich enough to embrace the possibilities of such a conflict. On the one hand, one wants to get out. On the other, one wants to stay in. So the trend of withdrawal is there, the trend of involvement is there. So to choose either this or that, either to withdraw into spiritual individualism, or to remain involved in a worldly sort of way, is easy. And many people do take the easier solution. Some get out, others remain in. Some get out into spiritual individualism, private spiritual experience, others remain in the world, but not with much spiritual development or outlook, in a purely secular, mundane sense. Now, the whole point of what we're trying to explain and discuss today, this evening, is that though contradictory, both of these trends must be developed in the spiritual life. That is, the trend of withdrawal and also the trend of involvement. One might say that the trend of withdrawal involves or embodies the wisdom aspect of the spiritual life, prajna. The other, the trend of involvement, embodies the compassion aspect, or karuna. So both of these are to be developed. That development is helped, that joint development is helped by what is known as the recollection of the Buddha. In other words, by constantly bearing in mind the ideal of unsurpassed perfect enlightenment, or enlightenment for the sake, for the benefit of all sentient beings, as exemplified most perfectly by the Buddha himself, Gautama the Buddha, the human and historical teacher. Now, what one has to do is not to allow the tension, as it were, between these two to relax. If one does that, then in a sense one is lost. One has to pursue, one has to follow both, even though contradictory, simultaneously. The trend of withdrawal, the trend of involvement, getting out and staying in. Seeing the faults of conditioned existence, at the same time feeling the sufferings of sentient beings, developing wisdom and compassion. So as one develops, as one pursues, as one follows both of these simultaneously, the tension, as it were, builds up and up. It was not a psychological tension, but a spiritual tension, It's built up until a point is reached where one can't go any further. So, when one reaches that point where one can't go any further, then something happens. What happens is very difficult to describe, but we may provisionally describe it as an explosion. This means that as a result of the tension which has been generated and accumulated by following these two contradictory trends simultaneously, there occurs a sort of breakthrough into a higher dimension of spiritual consciousness where the two trends of withdrawal and involvement are no longer two. Not because they've been artificially amalgamated into one, but because the plane or the level on which their duality existed, or on which it was possible for them to be two things, has been transcended. So when that happens, when that explosion occurs, when one breaks through, as it were, one has the experience of being simultaneously withdrawn and involved, simultaneously out of it and in it. In other words, wisdom and compassion have become non-dual, not two. One can say one if one likes, but it's not a numerical or arithmetical one. So when this happens, when the explosion occurs and the breakthrough occurs, when for the first time one is both withdrawn and involved, both out and in, having both wisdom and compassion, not as two things side by side, but as it were as one thing, then one may say that the bodhicitta, or will to enlightenment, has arisen. And one can say that in truth and fact, there has occurred a conversion from spiritual individualism to a life of complete selflessness. At least such a life has been initiated.